Yo-ho, Keith.
Mitchell.
Welcome to the show. Welcome, everybody out there in internet land. Check it out. I'm in green. Why, you may ask. You obviously know. It's St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
Keith, St. Patrick's Day. And we're talking today about the baptism of Jesus.
Perfect timing.
I guess. So you read our scripture and we'll get into it.
Yeah, the baptism of Jesus, Luke 3, 21, 22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased."
So good.
I am well pleased.
Jesus got baptized, Keith. So that's where we're headed today. We're going to have our discussion about that. Do you want to?
I want to first talk about St. Patrick's
you do?
Day. We have to give it a little bit of justice. Okay. I'm not sure how we're going to relate this to Jesus being baptized, but
it's the day we are in.
I think we need to have a discussion because I have found out recently that people are not a fan of corned beef.
It's gross, Keith.
I am a massive fan of corned beef. My family is a massive fan of corned beef. My family's family was a massive fan of corned beef. I have no idea what y'all are talking about.
It's just something to do with the coagulated, fat, clumpy globules of over-saltedness that come with it, mixed with like the rando mustard seed in there. Of stuff, right? Like, I don't know.
Dude, it's delicious.
Well, I like a Reuben, and I like it made with pastrami, and I don't like rye, so I use sourdough, and now all of a sudden it's not even a Reuben anymore.
It's not even a Reuben.
But it does have sauerkraut on it.
See, I don't understand how you can like pastrami, but not corned beef.
Is sauerkraut German?
Yeah.
So then there you go.
What would Patrick
be in German?
Backtrack.
That's what
to corn
I need
beef.
To know.
When's the last time you've had some corned beef?
March 18th, 2024. You brought me some.
Oh, I did. Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
I ate it.
Was it what you thought it was going to be?
It was exactly what I thought it was going
to
be.
I'm sorry.
You trimmed it really well. I cut the little fat part off. I ate two bites of it. I drank 3.5 gallons of water. and salt retention went down a couple days later. I was fine.
Okay, right now I need everybody to put in the comments whether I'm right and corned beef is the most delicious thing that you've ever had, or if you're like Mitch and you think it's gross. Because I need to understand where we are in America today. And if you're not from America, still let us know what you think about corned beef.
Well, here's one for you. Here's one for you. I traveled. I've been to Ireland, right?
I'm not.
In Ireland. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, I want some corned beef and cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
And this bed and breakfast, the little inn attached to the bed and breakfast. Like, this was not for the breakfast portion. This was like the pub that was right there. There was a very insulted look on their face. And they're like, that's British. And I was like, what do you mean that's British? They're like, yeah, you guys got it all wrong. And I'm like, I don't know, but I'm here. And I thought that was a thing. And they're like, no, we'll give you bacon and cabbage.
Bacon and cabbage?
Yeah. And I was like, okay. And then they come out and I was like, that's not bacon. They're like, no, it's not streaky bacon. That's what you guys call bacon. Streaky bacon. That's what we call it. This is bacon. I was like, looks like ham.
Oh, they're like the Canadians.
Mm-mm. Different.
Like, Canadian bacon is actually ham.
Yeah, but it's a different bacon. It's like in between.
Oh, interesting.
It was wild. So then I was like, oh, okay. So no corned beef and cabbage? They're like, yeah, don't order that here. And now I know the server could have just been messing with me. Like, complete disclaimer. But I didn't order it anymore in my time.
Wow.
In Ireland.
I don't know how to take this.
Also,
do they have green beer?
No. No.
You're saying we made that up too?
I guess.
Are you saying this?
Oh. Yeah. It was funny on my trip too. We left Ireland on March 16th. Like, I don't know why. like that was like obviously a planning mistake.
Yes.
Right? We're like, yes. Oh, okay, where's our next stop? You know? Milan. March 16th.
March 16th.
Okay, sounds great. Right? Whoops.
Well, I think that I think having corned beef and cabbage is a rite of passage.
Okay. Well, my favorite Irish foods are, I like shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie, delicious.
Which I had.
With some corned beef.
It was delightful. No. And bangers and mash.
Bangers and
which
mash.
Which is a great.
Is that English or Irish?
I had it in Ireland.
Hmm.
I may have also had it in England.
Pretty sure that's an English. Mm,
no, the mash. And then Ireland.
Hmm.
The English deal is eating all the beans
bangers
with
bangers and
all
chips.
All the beans with breakfast, which is great.
Oh, yeah. Especially like on
pork and
on
if you haven't
potato.
Had pork and beans with your eggs, you're not
you're
living.
Missing out.
You're not living. So good.
Now, did you speaking of pork and beans, did you ever get the can of pork and beans from the grocery store?
Yeah, with the little pork cube or little
yeah,
fat
little,
cubes
little
on top.
Fat
yeah,
cubes.
They carve those off
pig?
Corned beef.
Corned beef. Do you still get them? Does your family eat it?
There's no cubes there anymore.
Interesting. Do you eat it warm or cold?
I don't eat it cold, but my wife's family just cracks that can open and puts a spoon in it.
Growing up, my parents used to put it in the fridge, and so whenever we would have I'm talking cold. They would put it in the fridge. And we would have, like, you know, pork chops
or
something.
So you're a one with coagulation.
Pop that thing open. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't do that today, but growing up, I didn't know any better. So I was like, yep, this looks good. Although I never ate the little fat cubes.
Yeah, I don't think they're there anymore.
They didn't sit right with me.
Well, and maybe that was the pork part. So really, maybe the can should just say, and beans.
Beans. And a little bit of pork. Now, I think both of these things are Midwest rite of passages where you have to have pork and beans,
not
you have to have
warm.
Corned beef at least once in your life to really say that I'm sending you into the world. I'm sending you in the world, right?
I'm diverse.
just like Jesus being baptized. That was really loud. Sorry.
Wow, everybody. That was loud, but that's a great terrible segue.
Yes, I tried. You tried to interrupt me during it.
Sorry. Sorry for the interruption. Pardon the interruption, Keith. Yeah, Jesus was baptized, and I never thought about it until we came up, or until we got our little study guide here to do this. But it's like, we're all like, oh yeah, Jesus was baptized, you know, the baptism of Jesus, but why? Right? I never asked that question. Like, why? Yeah. Like, why? Because it was original when John was doing it. John was the message, John the Baptist was preaching coming out of the wilderness was repent.
Repent of your sins.
Yeah, repent.
Be cleansed of your sins, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus was sinless.
Yeah, repent. Be made new. And like, why is he getting baptized, Keith?
Well, see, I always assumed.
Had you thought about that before?
Yeah, I had thought about that before.
Well,
and
you're smarter than me.
My general thought process was that Jesus has a way throughout his ministry to show us how we should do things.
Okay.
Right? He shows us how we should pray. He shows us how we should, you know, what we do now, take communion to remember him by. He shows us all these things. And I just understood it as him showing us how to, like this act of baptism is a good act. And so he, you know, he takes part in it to show us that we need to do it.
Okay.
Right. And so that's kind of my, you know, my understanding of it. Now, what I have trouble with from a theological perspective.
Okay.
Now, as a Methodist, we don't believe that you have to be baptized to be saved, right? Like, or quote unquote, go to heaven, right? We believe that God can save whomever he wants, whenever he wants, for whatever reason that he wants, right? And so that there's no real limitation on God's power. God can choose to save anybody. So, and that's as a Methodist, we believe. But there are some some different denominations that believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. And this is what doesn't correlate with me is infant baptism. Now in my mind, you know, they're not sinless as an infant, right? But because you have original sin and all that kind of stuff, but they're not making the commitment to do it, right? And mm-hmm. and you're kind mm-hmm. of like in this time frame, adults were really making the determination that they wanted to get right with God and be free from their sin and would be baptized. Now, you know, on the flip side, it's very biblical that whole families would get baptized together, right? The kind of that head of the family would decide to get baptized and the whole family would get baptized together, which is what me and our family did. But yeah, I don't know how that, have you ever thought about that in terms of, you know, I know you said that
I hadn't even thought about why Jesus got baptized, but I like your point of like, he was showing us how to do, because, you know, if Jesus hadn't been baptized, people would have been like, why are you getting baptized? That was a John thing.
Yeah.
Jesus came after and didn't, right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that. I'm grateful that, you know, John baptized Jesus, and I'm grateful that John's like, hey, why am I doing this? Right.
Yeah.
You should be,
like, yo, bro,
you should be dunking me. Yeah, right. Yeah. I think that was really cool.
Yeah. I also really like the next line, which we didn't read, in Luke, is really about, and this is the start of Jesus's, you know, he was about 30 years of age at the time, and this was the start of his
public
ministry, right? And so I thought that a little addition on it was kind of cool, where
it symbolizes, he used this as a springboard, the launching point to public ministry. And that's a pretty nice launching point when the heavens are opened, audible voice from above.
Yeah. A dove.
Visual.
From the Holy Spirit.
Representation of the Holy Spirit descending bodily, mm-hmm. was our translation, mm-hmm. right? Like, and words like, this is my son with whom I am well pleased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool, huh?
That's a pretty legit,
I mean, it's pretty
launching
legit.
Point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I do wonder now, I haven't really thought about this before, but I would assume that Jesus throughout his time had kind of a direct communication with God that we didn't experience, right? Whether through prayer or whatever. So was God really saying out loud audibly, you know, that, hey, this is my son, I am pleased. Is that for Jesus or for everyone else around him? Like, you know what I mean? Is that more of like a moment of epiphany for like everyone around them?
Yeah.
Like, you know, hey, guys, guess what? It's my son. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, super cool. Because also think about it, like if it happened now, like how many of us would be like, oh man, I was on my phone. What was that?
Did you guys hear something?
Did you guys hear something?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You had noise canceling headphones on. Didn't hear it. you know, talking about both the Holy Spirit coming down as a dove and the voice of God and Jesus really is kind of a first picture that we get of the Holy Trinity, right? We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in one place, represented together, right? And so it really defines at that point that, to me, it defines that Trinity is a relationship, right? Between all three of the pieces, and you can't have one without the other and vice versa, right? And so I think that helps me a little bit understand the Trinity a little bit more and try to understand, because, you know, sometimes it's kind of complicated to be like, how is Jesus God and the Son of God? How, you know, how is he both divine and mortal? You know, what's the Holy Spirit got to do with all this, right? And I think at that point kind of gives you the first glimpse of like, hey, it's we're all together in this, you know, in this, and it's really a relationship. And so, like, by looking at that, How do you see it as a relationship, and then how do you see yourself fitting into that relationship?
I think you personally, it's being receptive to listening, right? Listening and being receptive to input, right? And in your prayer life, I don't think probably my least used internal or external verbalized prayer. I very rarely is it kind of like an invocation of the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
But yet, anytime you felt the presence or felt the response or received some sort of, you know, tangible response,
mm-hmm.
Well, I think that is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So, like, that's pretty cool, too, mm-hmm. right? So, like, response to prayer, I think, is always the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a working in, right? Like,
yeah, like, I think in when I think back to any of the times that I was like very, where I really needed something or some advice or whatever, or like I was just not even paying attention and I just felt something, right? Saying, do this instead of this, right? Like I was about to do this and they're like, no, for some weird reason, I feel like I should do this instead. And then when you look back a year or two later, you realize a series of events that led you there, right? And yeah, I would. That's an interesting point because I've never thought to pray to the Holy Spirit.
No, we have, you know.
I mean, but I've never thought in a personal setting, right?
Yes, in a personal setting.
I always pray
usually,
to God.
Usually in a group setting,
Jesus
it
or
would
whatever.
Be usually yeah. in a group setting, you know, in a worshipful large group or worship night or a, you know, ask, pray for the presence.
Yeah.
In the room to draw us closer in relationship to mm-hmm. one another mm-hmm. and God in that moment. But, you know, it's even though the Trinity is very complicated to try to wrap your head around, in practice, it's not. Right?
Yeah.
Dear Lord, I'm overwhelmed. I can't handle this right now. I can't do this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, in the, you know, divine comedy of things, it's not like, well, that was yours. He's
yeah.
hollering out to you, bro.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah,
but I kind of, you were the one to go interact. Right? Like, it makes sense, right?
Yeah,
that,
I guess. I know. I never really
thought
of it that
like
way.
There's not, like, a tussle over, like.
They all have different inboxes.
Right?
You know? This one didn't come to me. Like God forwards it to the Holy Spirit. Hey, you, bro. Hey, so switching gears just a little bit, but staying on the relationship piece, because I like your point about like being in a small group, right? And praying for the Holy Spirit to kind of keep everybody or get everybody more connected mm-hmm. in the relationship, right? I really like that. There was a Harvard study that you and I talked about off the air where they looked at it starting like the 30s, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they looked at students at Harvard, but then also some just some kids from Boston that maybe weren't as wealthy as kids going to Harvard in the 30s. And they followed them. It was like 800 kids, and they followed them throughout their life. And you know, every so often they would send them a questionnaire to find out, you know, how much money you're making, how's your job, how's your life, how's your relationships, are you happy, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the study shows there's no correlation between happiness, your profession, or the amount of money that you make, but that your happiness is derived by the quality of your relationships throughout your life with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was so powerful in a lot of ways, that you live longer and you're more happy when you have really solid relationships in your life. And so
I would have just said, I could have told you that without a study.
Well, come on. You know, I don't.
I'm a relational guy.
You're a relational guy, but I think that for me, like, yes, I would say yes. If you have a person that's,
I like the data backing
generally,
it up.
Generally lonely, right? And you got this person that's generally well connected and happy. They're probably going to live longer, but there's various degrees to that, right? Like you could kind of make the argument, well, yes and yes, but there's various degrees of happiness, right? And there's various degrees of relationships and how deep the relationship goes. And so how can we, or how can you reflect on this Trinity unity, right, as an example for our relationships here on earth outside of God? Like, can you see yourself in a relationship with a group of people that is also in this kind of realm of working together and not, oh, that's on you, right? I mean, I think that would be the ultimate relationship if you had like a small group or something that where you kind of all just, the relationship just came together, right?
Yeah, I think that's also comes back to like what you're talking about. It's kind of like that, the thumbprint of God on us, right? Mm. We're created in the image of God. And if God is triune, we're created in that triune image. Mm. So therefore, we're created for relationship, because God created us to be in relationship,
yep,
with Him, with God and others. So, because that's what we're made in the image of. So therefore, we're kind of hardwired to do that. And the more you practice it, the better you get at it, right? Mm. It's like any team you've ever been on. Family unit, I think, is the best way to describe it. You know, like if we're emptying the dishwasher as a family, mm-hmm, at home, like we don't need somebody to, you know, assign orders to do it, yeah, right? Yeah, and it's not, yeah, even like we ever had orders assigned. You know?
Oh, you tell the story about doing laundry, right? And, you know, pile of laundry on the bed and folding it, and the kids just coming in and starting to do laundry without you saying anything or doing, yeah, anything, right? Like, I think about cooking dinner a lot. You know, we'll do.
That's one where I got to invoke the dad to say, hey, come here, come here and help.
Biscuits.
Come here and help do these things. But yeah,
I look at like for us doing dinner. Yeah, sure. We might be like, I might be like, Piper, come make the biscuits, right? But then it's this, you know, hey, I got to do this. Can you watch that? Yeah, sure. No, you know, like you're all working together for the common meal, right? And it's not like, well, you're in charge of the biscuits, so no, you got to walk away. They're going to burn. That's on you, right? You know, or whatever, or vice versa.
Yeah, because we all want a good outcome.
We all want a good outcome. And I think that's the Trinity. They want a good, that God wants a good outcome, right? And so we really look at, sometimes we look at God as tolerating us, mm, in our sin, right? And I think you think the same thing, that He doesn't. He delights in us, and he
God wants good things for you in your life.
Yeah.
Now, your definition of how great, yeah, and good you want those things to be,
yeah,
you know, might differ, but God wants good things for you in your, mm, life.
Yeah. And He wants you to make good decisions and do good things and do good acts for other people, and delights in those things that you do, and delights in the relationships that you have with others, and in the relationship you have with Him.
In the cosmic reality of things, we're all putting the dishes away together.
We're all putting, and with that, I think that's the perfect end to this, this episode. Although the only problem with that analogy is this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and really putting the dishes away is the end. So stay with us as we continue going through Luke on our way to Easter. Join us next week as we continue going through Luke and looking at some of the things that happened in Luke that kind of make you go, what? Like, why was Jesus baptized?
Yeah, like, why would Jesus eat corned beef? It's crazy.
Stop it.
See if it's in there. And enjoy your corned beef. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Have a good one.
See you.